See? Oh, thank you, Vanita. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for all these wonderful people what we have here. It keeps me in line here. Thank you, Father. We just praise you and we glorify you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight. Lord, we just ask and we pray that tonight there be some new revelations come forth. And not only that, Lord, that we learn a lot tonight at some things that you've given me and hopefully everybody else too, Lord. And we praise you for it. No, my internet connection is not unstable. It is stable as a tree standing in a big oak tree. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to have a good time. I bind up the enemy trying to make this thing unstable and keeping everybody. I thank you, Lord, you're going to keep everybody on the outreach tonight in Jesus' name. Not going to be any mess ups anywhere. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless everybody here tonight with wisdom and discernment, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yeah, that's right. Stable like a house planted on a rock. Amen. Hey, Pat. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Hey, what is that, Elisha? What do you say, boy? Oh, that's my boy. Hey, Obi. What's up, dude? Who's trying to hog the camera now? Hey, Obi. And Elisha. I see your right eye. We're showtime. She in bed already?
She's out there playing.
Oh, is she?
Not yet.
No, not yet. We're going to stay up late, later than our normal bedtime tonight.
Oh, no. That's good, Obi. You sliding in there for Elisha. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Hey, Teresa, go ahead.
Terry has a court hearing tomorrow. So, and I think this has to do with the marriage stuff, you know, how they're going to divvy stuff up. And so, you know, just in his previous court hearings, Barbara Bell, his lawyer, kept bringing up, you know, kept continuing court cases. And in those court cases, Dina would trash Terry for a couple hours. And Terry never was able to, you know, was not given a chance to get a word in to, you know, dispute it. And so, you know, now they have this divorce hearing. And so, I just want things to go fairly for Terry. You know, that, Heavenly Father in Jesus' name would adjudicate things according to his will. And that, you know, the scripture does say if the unbeliever wants to depart, let him depart. And so, you know, Terry would like to hold it together, but the other party is not interested. And so, and the other party wants wants everything minus him. So, you know, he needs God's working in his behalf. So.
Okay.
I would just like God to take control, Heavenly Father, to take control of that court hearing and make it what he wants it to be. His will be done, as in heaven, so on earth.
Well, Lord, you've given us authority and dominion. And in the name of Jesus right now,
yes,
I command and demand from the court system a fair and equitable solution to this divorce in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
thank
name.
You, Father, that it's going to happen regardless of the enemy in Jesus' name. And I thank Jesus' you for name. It, Father. Lord, I ask and I pray that you place faith in Terry to believe this that it's going to be fair and equitable, and it doesn't need to listen to the natural things that happen, but it's going to be a very fair hearing in Jesus' name. It's going to be equitable to him and her in Jesus' name. They had kids, didn't they?
Three kids. Yeah. So I have three grandbabies there, and they're beautiful.
Is he taking them, or is she taking them, or what's going on?
He feels powerless. He wants his kids, but she was so aggressive that she finagled it court-wise that he couldn't even see his own kids. He can only see them Sunday and Monday for several hours each day. And he's got to drive clear from Hayes to Lawrence, or Victoria to Lawrence. And then he's got to spend one night or two in a hotel so he can just see his kids. And this has been going on for several months. And the whole thing, and all of it, is based on lies that she told the court. That, you know, and so...
We pray, I don't understand about it, so I'm not gonna, all I wanna do is just pray that it's an equitable, and he'll get to see his children when he wants to. And we thank you, Father, for doing that, and I thank you, Father, for, is he still reading the word?
Yeah, he's fine. He's shooting just straight up. But he wants his kids. He doesn't want to see them just like 2 days a week. You know, he wants a fair and equal distribution of time, her time with the kids and his time with the kids. You know, he would like equal custody.
Okay. Well, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you give the judge discernment as to the manipulation and the control that's going on, and probably with the lawyer is probably doing a lot of this. And Father, we just ask and we pray right now that you give equitable rights to see his children just as many days as she gets. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that even at that he'll get to see those kids during holidays as well. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to believe. We're not going to believe what the judges say. We're not going to believe what the lawyers say. We're going to believe what your word says. The word says when you pray and you believe what that you have received, you shall have it. And we believe that, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God.
In Jesus' name.
Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Does anybody else want to pray? All right, it's done. I believe it.
It's done. I believe it.
Julie says, is somebody seeing somebody else? Yeah, Julie.
Teresa, is Gina, is she involved with anybody else? Is she seeing, dating somebody? You're muted.
No, but from the beginning, Terry was suspecting that she was using crack again. And when my sister took the kids some clothes that she had bought for the kids, and Dina had all the appearance of somebody that had been on crack, because Karen works with, you know, at Spirit in Wichita, you know, that airplane factory. She sees a lot of people that have been on crack, that have gotten work there. And so, you know, she can recognize the appearance of people that have been on it. And so, and Karen, from the way Dina when she and her dad filed that fraudulent PFA, she immediately took $21,000 out of the bank account that Terry had been working 2 years for. Overtime, saving up, you know, so they would have a buffer. She confiscated all of it, left him with nothing. And so she's had plenty of money to buy it. And so, whether she's seeing somebody, if she is, that somebody isn't helping her out any. So.
Okay. I was just curious if there was maybe somebody else involved.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we just ask this.
Sound like that may be it, so.
We thank you, Lord, that if she is on any kind of drugs at all, Lord, that it would be exposed and pull those children out from under her until she so gets straight again, in Jesus' name. And I pray that, Father, that Terry's lawyer would look into that and find out, in Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask that you just lay it on his desk, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Angels, go to it. Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. Well, we're going to see a turnaround here. Tell him not to worry about it. It's in God's hand.
Yep.
God to make it
in
right.
God's hand.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Ooh, I do. Go ahead, Missy. I'll let you go first.
Okay. I'd just like some agreement. I've been fighting against some Lyme symptoms in my sinuses, and I just I cast them down in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I have I have perfect sinuses. I have no congestion. I have nothing wrong with them. I have divine health. I have healing. I have DNA restoration. I have the works, and I cast this down, these Lyme symptoms. And I command you to go and stay gone in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord. Amen. I am healed. I am delivered in Jesus'
yes,
name.
You are.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I believe it. Everybody else does too. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Lord, I ask and I pray that, like we prayed earlier, that these tests that come back on Jeanette are going to come back negative, and she doesn't have anything because we already prayed the prayer of faith for her, and she is healed in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for taking fear out of her, anxiety out of her, and anxiousness out of her right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you up and cast you off of her right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, and I command that J-gal to go too in Jesus' name. You go in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, she is. She got Michelle took her home. Okay, anyone else? I done told you my connection is stable. It ain't unstable. I'm on the rock. In Jesus' name. All right, anybody else? Okay, do y'all mind if I share a little something with you? Well, they don't make no, never mind. I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. Let's see here. I wanted to talk a little bit about faith.
All in your...
What's the matter, Joe?
No, it just says all in your hands, Michael.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. All right. What I wanted to do is talk a little bit about what faith is and to try to give a little more definition to it that you may or may not have heard before. And a lot of this come from Lake. A lot of it comes from my background as well. Your faith ought not to be in your faith. And you might say, I'm not sure I have enough faith. Well, the word doesn't say that he healed them that had enough faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It says, according to, this is 320b, according to the power that works in us, it's your faith. If your faith is in your faith, that's not Christian, that's humanism, because your faith is actually in yourself. Think about that a moment. If your faith is in your faith, that's not Christian, that's humanism, because your faith is actually in yourself. Do you know what you're really saying when you say, I'm not sure I have enough faith? I'm trying to have faith, but I don't think I have enough faith. Here's what you're saying. I don't believe God can really be trusted, because that's what faith is. Faith is trusting that God would do what he says. When you say, I don't think I have enough faith, you're actually saying, well, you know, I've known God for a long time, and I'm not sure that I can trust him that much. He's been pretty much trustworthy, but he could still fail me. He could still let me down. Now, I know nobody ever going to say those words, but that's actually what we're saying when we say we don't have enough faith in God. Think about that. Your faith should not be in your faith. Your faith should be in God. It's not a matter of do I have enough faith. You'll never find Jesus talking about how much faith is needed. The type of faith that Jesus talks about is faith that perseveres. That's the type he's looking for. A type of faith that continues and stands and perseveres. In other words, a faith that decides from the beginning what the end is going to be like, and then doesn't stop until the end of that situation looks like how you saw the end at the beginning. Faith is like, this is the way it looks in the natural. The doctor's report said terminal, but the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed, and that's the way it will look when it's all over. So faith is, I keep going, and I keep trusting God until it looks like what the Bible says it ought to look like. And if you stop before then, that's little faith. Or it could be no faith in some cases. It's not about the amount of faith. He's talking about persevering in your faith. The ability to stand and continue to stand. He that endures to the end shall be saved. The whole idea is not about an amount, just like he told a centurion. He told him, he said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. Be it unto you. He didn't say, according to how much faith you have, be it unto you. And what Jesus was saying was this, and we'll put it in my vernacular, my way of saying it. According to what you just said, exactly just what you said, I agree with that. That's what Jesus was telling him. He wasn't saying according to how much faith you have. And if that were true, if that was the case, there'd have been a whole lot of them out there that Jesus ministered to that would have been partial healings. Because it wasn't the amount of faith, it was the faith that stayed until it got what it came for. And that's basically all I wanted to say. Has anybody got any comments on what I just said? Does that make any sense to anybody out there? Okay. So let's make faith simple. We just trust God. We just trust God. What he says in his word. When you, it's not how much faith you have, it's how you trust God. Do you trust God and everything that he says in his word is true? And if you believe what the Bible says, then you've got faith. Yeah, Missy.
Well, what just came to me is, you know, his word says, I'll never fail you nor forsake you, you know?
That's right. That's another good one. Amen. I was hoping this would bring some good stuff out. That was good stuff. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Second Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and guard you from the evil one.
Yep.
So that goes along with Amos 3:3.
Amen.
Goes along with Amos 3:3.
What is that? Go ahead and say it. Got a little delay here.
Can two walk together unless they agree? And, you know, that goes along with 1 John 1:7. So that if you walk in the light as he's in the light. And of course, you're walking with God. Because he says so in the word.
Amen. The thing that we've done over the years in our faith walk is try to make faith something that's hard to attain to. And it's not. It's just trusting God. That's all it is. It's just trusting God. What would happen if? It don't make any difference. God's right behind you. You think he's going to mess up? He ain't going to mess up. The only one going to mess up would be you. And your messing up would be two things. Doubt and unbelief or traditions of men then got you held back. Okay, go ahead, Missy. I love this subject. This is one of my favorite subjects.
What things are impossible with man? All things are possible with God.
You know, amen.
Nothing is too difficult. Nothing's too hard for him. You know, my gosh, he spoke all of creation into being. He knit us in our mother's womb, every one of us.
Yep.
He knows all the minutest, Psalm 139, he knows all the minutest little things about us. He thinks about us all the time. His thoughts are more than the number of the sands of sand. He knows all the numbers of the hairs on our head, you know, which ones are there and which ones are gone and how many are gone and how many are there. And each hair has a number to it. You know, there's nothing he can't do. And he's true to his word. But, you know, I was just reading today, we're tested to see if we're going to trust
him.
Right. You know, it doesn't matter how bad it looks. It does not matter how bad it looks. He will always come through for us.
It may not be in the time frame that we want it to be in, but that's the test that Missy was talking about, that he wants to see if we're going to stand. And if we're going to stand, guess what? You're going to get it. It's going to happen. Yeah, Judy, go ahead. Thank you, Missy.
God's promises. We can be certain about his promises because who he is. And I read from Hebrews chapter 6, 13 to the end here. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And thus, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men swear by the greater, and in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation. Wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise, which is us, the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath, that by two immutable things in which is impossible for God to lie, we may have a strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us, which we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and entering into that which is within the veil, whither as a forerunner Jesus entered for us, having become a priest after the order of Melchizedek. God can't lie. He makes a promise. He makes promise, and then he adds an oath to it, which, you know, immutable is can't change. Right? It's unchangeableness. He won't change his mind. Praise God, you know. Our part is just like everyone's saying, you know, we just got to endure to the end, hang on. You know,
amen.
And go through it. Go through the fire. Burn up these bonds, you know. Burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. Get rid of all the flesh.
Amen.
Make us overcomers.
Can you imagine what went through Job's mind when all of that stuff hit him at one time? But he hung
in.
What'd
I do?
Well, amen. Go ahead, Teresa. Thank you, Julie. I lowered your hand while ago by mistake. And you're muted, so we'll have to unmute. Yeah, I know. That's okay. Kind of a drag.
A psalm that God pointed out to me was Psalm 36. You know, and you know, when I was standing, well, I still am standing for my family, but, you know, as that progression went on, one of the things that he pointed out to me was Psalm 36, and starting at verse 5, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. So that's what God wanted me to know, that his faithfulness to me, which is all of us, reaches to the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness. Well, that's to us, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They shall be, and then the promise, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you shall make them drink of the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light shall we see light. O, continue your loving kindness to them that know you. Well, you know, he is revealing himself to us, and your righteousness to the upright in heart, which he is making us the upright in heart. So that's one of the things that God pointed out to me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, that's the thing about faith. Faith is very simple. It's just trusting the Lord. That's all it is. It's just trusting in the Lord. And when you trust the Lord, do you trust the Lord? First thing you have to ask yourself, well, do I trust the Lord? Well, he made you. He tells you, he gives you a standard to go by in his word. You go in there and read everything about that. A good one that I always like is 107:20. He sends his word and heal them and delivers them from their destructions. And if you believe that, then you've got faith. And you'll believe him for everything that you need. He'll help you. He'll keep. And I wonder if Jesus is going to be with me if I go up to that guy and ask and pray for him. Is he going to follow through? That's not what ought to be going through your mind. Well, give me the boldness to go up there and ask him, because I know God's with me and he'll heal him. All I got to do is open my mouth up and ask him if I can pray for him, and God will heal him. That's the attitude we ought to be taking, you know, with us when we go out. Is, Lord, lead me to somebody that needs help. And when you do, Lord, I'm going to let you shine through me just like you want to. And I said, you're going to be a great light to these people. And guess what? You're liable to bring a whole family to Jesus just because of it. Because I guarantee you, when you do that, you go up there and you lay hands on them, they're going to be healed. There ain't no doubt in my mind. Or delivered, or whatever they need. What is your need today? I've done it. I've gone door to door and said, is there anything I can pray for this family about? Oh, my goodness, yeah, I'm so glad to see you. Come on in. Said, yeah, man, I'll tell you what. And then you'll be there for half a day praying for them, and we'll have a good time doing it. Done that a couple of times myself. All right, anybody else? Some of them, they slam a door in my head, my face, but don't worry about it. They slammed the door in Jesus' face. That's what they did. Yep, I'm a Baptist. Pow! yep. That's why I always go to the poor neighborhoods, those people in need. I wish the Lord would send me up to North Carolina for a little bit. All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I just want to tell you about the experience I had yesterday. Usually when I go out for groceries, I usually look for people to share the gospel with or to pray with. So I met quite a few people, well, a few people yesterday I talked to and share. And then I just one lady, it's an old lady, I asked her, I can pray for her. She says, No, this is an awkward time. You must pray in the mornings for me. Not now, but I give you my name, so I forgot about the name. Just now, you can pray for me, but it's just arthritis. That's why I'm walking like this. Oh, that's fine. I'll pray about it. When I talk about people, when I come at home last night or yesterday afternoon, I think to myself, no, I didn't really anything did today. I wonder now why I did go out to, I want to pray for people to be healed and all this. And then Lord reminds me it's not what you've seen, just believing you have done what you should have done. That's all you have to do is just believe it's done. You have to remind yourself this. The Lord is faithful to his work. You don't have to see the fruit exactly at that time. Just be confident that the Lord is working in that person's life. Doesn't matter how we speak. There's also people is, you just close the door in my face, so that's fine by me. I don't bother with them anymore. A couple of months, I will be very devastating if people do that, but now I don't mind. I don't care. It's in the Lord's timing. It's his will working in our lives, so. Just remind myself again, remember, we're trusting the Lord, yeah. We're not trusting ourselves, what we've seen, trusting the Lord, yeah. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Amen. Well, that's what we said a while ago. You know, if they slam a door in your face, you just slam the door in Jesus' face. Bless him, Lord, you know, and go home.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Joe, that's good. Praise God. Yeah, the more you do it, the less anxious you'll be, the less anxiety you'll have. And I'll tell you something else. The more you pray for folks out there for healing, the more healers you're going to see. Because the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. Because you'll get bold, and you'll go up there, and you know you're going to take control of that demon of spirit of infirmity. And you just listen. I'm gonna pray for you, and God's gonna heal you. And you just tell them that, and they believe you. Most of the time, they'll believe you. Okay, I believe that. You know, God said, "What I do, I'll go up to them and I'll tell them. I said, Lord sent me over here to pray for you. Can I pray for you? Yeah. God sent you over here? Yep, sure did." And he did in his word, didn't he? Yeah. Then I said, I pray for them. Boy, they'll jump and holler when they get healed.
Michael?
Yeah, Joe?
I got that from the UBM website that tracks real good news. Mine is can I share with you good news today? This is the best news you have. Yeah, but I go to a church. I says, no. This is the good news. Don't just listen to what I have to say. Just give me a few minutes. When he says, I'm at the church. I'm active. I says, that's fine. I'm not here to bother you. I just ask you if you can share some good news. If you have good news, that's fine by me. Thank you for your time. And then just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good track for me. That helps me a lot. But it's not just talk about, Lord, give him a track. That's a really good thing, good track to give him.
It is.
I use that quite a lot.
I've got one that calls the Simple Gospel, and that's a good one also.
And is it in a PDF form, Michael?
No, it's in Word, but I got it in a booklet form. It's one booklet form, one page. Long, but it's in font 12. I don't have any problem reading it. I figure the Lord make them see it and let them read it. It's a good one.
Would you mind sending it to me?
I will. No, I don't mind. Yeah, I'll send it to you. Sure will. Anybody else that wants it. I'll tell you what, I'll just send it out in the letter. How's that? Send it out in the email. Everybody wants one. If you can, you know how to print a booklet out, don't you? If you know how to print a booklet out, it's no problem. Now, how did I get my hand up? And I ain't even got my hand on it. You do that, Julie.
Yeah. If you go down to that little reaction button where it says, we have a little heart.
Oh, okay.
Where it says, recognize hand gestures, unclick that.
Unclick it. I don't have that on mine. Is it all the way down to bottom?
You see where the little heart is? Where it says react?
Yeah.
I've got there's a little up arrow there. It says play chime for raised hands and recognize hand gestures.
I might not say that.
You don't see it?
All I see is a bunch of smiley faces and TVs and ducks and hearts and.
No, not. Don't click on the heart. Click on the little arrow next to the heart.
I'll do that.
Is the recognized hand gestures clicked? Checked. Is there a check there?
Okay, I did.
Okay, if you uncheck it, you won't.
I won't receive those hand gestures. Okay. All right. Okay, I'm gonna play chime for raised hands. All right. So I'll know, you know. Okay, who's next? Has anybody got any questions about faith? What I just got through talking about. I know that a lot of people have, and I've done it in the past myself, have asked the Lord for bold faith. When in fact, all we need to do is, Lord, increase my trust in you. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Did it chime?
Could be.
Did it chime when I raised my hand?
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Well, the other scripture was coming to my mind where it is, I'm exact. Oh, okay. Do it again.
All I heard was.
Did you hear anything?
Yeah, I heard that. That's all I heard, but go ahead.
Okay, well, what I was going to say is that there's a scripture that says, have God's faith. And when you think about Christ in us, you know, we have who he is, he's faith. So we do have God's faith in us. And you're muted, Michael, in case you didn't know.
Yeah. I had a thought. Anyway, anybody else? He says, the faith of a mustard seed move a mountain, or move a tree out into the ocean, out in the water. That ain't very big. I don't know if you ever seen a mustard seed. It's a little bit of tiny thing. You can shake one out of a salt shaker or a pepper shaker. Amen. So it doesn't, all you have to do is just trust the Lord. He's going to do it. He's going to back you up. Where is Jesus? He's right here. He's right here. Right here. And he ain't going nowhere because he loves us. He's going to stay with us. And he's the one, he's the light. And the more you do that, the more you trust him, the more that light will shine. And the more that fruit will grow. Because you trust him rather than yourself. If I had to trust myself, I wouldn't get nothing done. I have to rely on him all the time. Praise God. Okay, anybody else got something they want to talk about? I guess we kind of wrote that one down a little bit. Yeah, Judy.
The other thing I was thinking is, when the Israelites went out into the wilderness, even Moses, when you went out in the wilderness first, you know, it's like, or Abraham, when God told him to go and possess land, all that you could see, you know, they hadn't been that way before. And that's like, when we go out in our own little wilderness, like, you know, trusting God and not on ourselves, and you know, we don't know what tomorrow is. We don't see the future, but only God does. So we don't know the way, you know, exactly through the wilderness. We don't know what it's going to entail and all that. But the Lord does, and He's, you know, He's leading us and guiding us. So that's where we have to trust. It's like, well, you know, He knows what the wilderness is all about for each and every one of us for our own individual lives. He knows what, you know, the unknown things we don't know about. We have to be able to trust God with the unknown, because none of us know what the future is, you know, for ourselves and, you know, what tomorrow holds. So this is a matter of learning. It's like, well, if I can't trust God now when it's relative peace and safety, what am I going to trust Him when it starts getting really bad, you know, and things really do shake up?
Amen.
He's not going to fail us. He won't fail us.
No. You know? He won't. You know, what surprises me in the Old Testament was when the Israelites were out in the wilderness, they had God as a flame of fire in the nighttime and big smoke in the daytime. And they still didn't trust the Lord when it came time to taking their land. Remember when they went out, the 10 spies, and then one but two of them come back and said, yeah, we can do this. We got this. God said. And they didn't believe Him. They didn't trust Him. That's the way we are sometimes. We don't trust the Lord to do what He said in His word. He said, my word will not return void to me. All we have to do is just remember that. It works. I'm seeing things now I never thought I'd see, Andrew, because of our faith. I'm telling you, it'll come out one day. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Missy, you awake? Uh-oh. Oh, she almost slipped off. Okay. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to talk about? Yes, Pat.
I guess I was thinking of what you were talking about. Faith. I was thinking more in terms of, I think what Julie was talking about, and that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that faith that we have to trust in is the Lord's faith released to operate within us. Thinking of Colossians 1:27, to whom God was pleased to make known what, let's see. Even the mystery, which hath been hid for ages and generations, but now hath it been manifested to His saints, to whom God was pleased to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Excuse me. Whom we proclaim, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, or complete. And I guess my thoughts are just going to that perfection, or that completeness is equated or equivalent to the full crucifixion of our old man, and in submission through that death, allowing the life of Christ to manifest or flow through of a, through us, that life which is enacted or walked out in his faith. There's an illusion to that, and not an illusion meaning a deception, but alluding to that in Psalm 91. And I caught this a while back as I was thinking about all of those benefits of Psalm 91 being in the Lord. You know, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And what is that secret place? Of which I believe is obviously explained in the next verse. It said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. And there's kind of alluding. Well, as I read through that psalm, and you read all the benefits, he will cover thee with his pinions. He is a truth, is a shield and a buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, for pestilence walks in that noonday. And if you go all the way down to verse 9, he says, for thou, O Lord, art my refuge. You have made the Most High your habitation. And in that verse, it seems to apply that the psalmist is talking to the Lord, saying that the Lord has made the Most High Father his habitation. And so through that, those verses in Psalm 91, just thinking about that, it appears that it's kind of alluding to the fact that if we abide in Christ, in him, Jesus is abiding in the Father, and we get to go along for the ride, so to speak, by faith. And so, and then when Jesus was talking to his disciples about faith in Mark 11:22, he said, and Jesus said unto them, have God's faith. I know, I think that's translated as have faith in God or whatever, but I believe, so the numeric says have God's faith. And I'm making that connection with abiding in Jesus and resting in his faith to, in other words, I think I'm abiding in Jesus and having faith in his faith, I guess you might say. And as a result of that, verse 23 of Mark 11:23 says, Amen, I say unto you, that who shall say to this mountain, be taken up and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that that which he saith cometh to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And then Paul's encouragement in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So I think it looks like there's a very close connection with dwelling and abiding in that faith which is in Christ. Can't say that I'm super clear on that, but I do know one thing, that even in the midst of doubts and fears, I know that Father will not ever give up or allow Jesus to fail. And if I'm resting in Jesus, then I won't fail. So I don't know. I just kind of, in a way, blabbering on here, but to me, there's just a very close connection there with, and it kind of makes it, in a sense, more comfortable, or I won't say easier, but I have more confidence in trusting in Jesus's faith more than I do my own, I think. So anyway, I'll stop there.
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Yeah. Go ahead, Teresa.
Well, as we were talking, what came to my mind is when I got born again, it's because I made a decision to believe God. Well, I was an unbeliever before. I made the decision, I'm going to believe Jesus Christ. And then when that happened, then immediately God started revealing himself to me. And so I go to Romans, where it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodly. So I'm saying faith, choosing to walk in faith also is a decision. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, while we are things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. You know, so it's a decision. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, there's that battle there, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped, which is a decision, and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Okay, and then it goes on, and then you get to Romans chapter 4, and we're talking about God's talking about Abraham here, where, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. But what says the scripture? Abraham chose to believe God. He made the decision, I'm going to believe God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And then the rest is history. And so, and then you go to Ephesians, and it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints for us. What is the hope of his calling for us? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints for us? But we have to have the, in other words, he gives the revelation of himself to us, but we had to make the decision to believe him first. I'm going to choose to believe God. And it says in Romans that everything he's made has an understanding of God, and they can choose to go forth with that, or they can choose to reject that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And the previous verse, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, which is us, and everything else, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So what I'm saying is we can choose to walk in faith. We can choose. I'm going to believe what God says. Is what I'm trying to say.
Amen. Well, let me ask this question. Why did Jesus heal people?
Out of love. He loves his people.
Yeah.
I mean, he gave his life for the redemption of all mankind back to himself out of the control of Satan.
What did he say when he was walking this earth? What did he say in the Word of God when he was walking in this earth? He said in the Word of God, he had compassion. He had compassion, which is the same thing, love. He had compassion upon the people. He said that for healing. He said that for deliverance. He said that for all of the things that are good for him. He had compassion. He had compassion. What did Jesus come here to do?
Redeem us back to himself. Change our nature into his nature. Birth us into the kingdom of God as sons of God, daughters of God.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Joe.
I'm here to do the will of my Father. Yes, same thing.
Amen. To do the will of his Father. And what was that? To defeat the enemy, wasn't it?
Amen. To be a son.
Yep. to be a son. That's what he's asked us to do also. Yeah, let's see. Thank you, Joe. You nailed it. All right, Julie. You're going to nail it too, girl.
He said he was sent to preach the gospel, you know, and to preach the kingdom of heaven is among you. You know, and that's what he told his disciples to do, to preach, you know, the kingdom of heaven. And that was, you know, he taught his disciples how to pray, as it is in heaven, so be it here on earth. It's like the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Free from oppression, free from sickness and disease, and to rejoice and to praise and thank God, and you know, it was his grace, you know, it was mercy and grace. It was to bring an end to the law, to bring in, you know, to fulfill prophecy and to bring an end to all those things that, you know, was in the Old Testament. He brought the new covenant of grace down, but yeah, to reveal his, you know, to reveal himself, you know, to reveal God, you know, to his people, you know, on a personal level, and not through all their traditions and, you know, rules, regulations, and all that stuff. It was to have a new relationship with our Creator, with our Father, and to make us all sons and daughters. Everything. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise God. He was brought here to do a lot of things. Yeah, to save me. Praise God. Go ahead, Missy.
And when Jesus is manifested in us, we destroy the works of the devil.
Yep. That's the light in it.
Jesus.
That's when that light really shines. It's when we're doing the work of God and bearing fruit. That's what he's talking about. You need to set that light up on the table so people can see it. Praise God. He's got a lot of stuff in here that he's done, that he wants us to do, and that's to manifest him. We got to walk like him, talk like him, and act like him. That's what he wants us to do. That's the fruit he's wanting us to understand. Something else I wrote in this little book here. Healing is a sign, not a reward. God heals because he said, by his stripes you were healed. That's a sign. That's why you can go out and you can tell somebody. I've done this before. Go out, you could catch somebody. If you're led by the Spirit, and you're always led by the Spirit because the Word tells you to do this, is you could go up to him and you could say, you find somebody that needs healing. Would you like to be healed? Would you like for God to heal you? Well, I'd like to be healed. I sure would. I'd like that. Well, if God heals you, will you give your life to Jesus? And they say, of course, yeah, you heal me. If they're in a lot of pain, whatever it is, it makes no difference. And God will heal them. I've only done that one time that God didn't answer, and it was my fault. It wasn't his. I didn't have the faith that I should have had, and this was early on, and that was a blind guy. And I knew he was blind, and I went up there to him, and I said, if God heals you, would you give your life to Jesus? He said, well, I'll think about it. And anyway, I prayed for him anyway. And best of my knowledge, he didn't get it. But that was my fault because when he said that he'd think about it, I think I just lost it right then. But I prayed for him anyway. That was my fault. But anyway. Anybody else got something? Mark 16:17, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, God's work is the shall recover part. Our work is to lay hands on the sick. That's our job. God heals because His Word said it, don't it? He sure does. Anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
Right. Just so interesting for me now, just thinking about it, is what's the difference between boldness and self-confidence? How do you recognize boldness as in speaking or as in not just self-confidence, it's just you build yourself up, but it's boldness is in the Lord and not in...
Yeah. I think boldness is to do what God asks you to do. It is word, and the boldness is to go up to people and preach the gospel. Not preach, but, you know, talk to them about Jesus. Be a light to them. If you see a need out there, going up to them and praying for them. And, you can be real subtle. You don't have to be, you know, just loud and boisterous and that kind of thing. You don't have to get you a megaphone and go out there and preach the word. Mm-hmm. Done that. Well, I shouldn't have, but go ahead.
But how do you know it's not self-confidence? You know you got Lord in you, you're confident you're going to talk about, but how do you know it's not, or is it just the enemy speaking lies? Remember always be boldness, and this is what the Lord taught me, and that's it. Doesn't matter what, cannot go on come to self-confidence, it's just boldness.
Help me, Julie.
How do you know it's not self-confidence or just to go out there and do it? I'm not sure exactly. I was looking at reading at something, Joe, so I'm sorry I didn't catch all that.
Yeah.
Well,
no, that's right. It's just how do you know it's not self-confidence and not just, how do you know it's not boldness or not just self-confidence?
What's the difference?
As in a visible sign.
Well, who is your confidence? What I was going to share is what the Lord showed me about that was, because I kind of had the same question, Joe. You know, if we're supposed to be bold, you know, the righteous bold as a lion, and we're bold and we're confident and all that. You know, it's not self-confidence because it's not me. I can't do anything, but it has to be confidence in God and that God's with me. God, you know, Christ is in me. I'm doing the works of Christ. He wants us humble, but it is not self-confidence and not self. I'm not confident in myself because, you know, I'll fail and I'll make mistakes and I'll be, you know, be a fool, made a fool of, not. But there's a scripture in Psalm 27 where it says, though a host encamp around against me, my heart shall not fear. And though a war rise up against me, even then will I be confident. Well, I'm not confident in myself. It's like, I'm confident God's going to defend me or God's going to, you know, He's going to honor me because of my faith in I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm doing this for His kingdom. Or I'm doing this like I'm going, you know, I'm doing something, you know, for, you know, in the name of the Lord, that I have His name, but I know who I am. That was what he showed me what the difference was, Joe. That I can't be self-confidence. That's less like pride. And Lord has to, you know, he had to show me where I was in pride and self-confident about doing something and I had the wrong attitude about it at times. So, but it was, you have to be confident that God's with me. Oh, does that help? I don't know if that helps.
Well, I can tell you this, Joe, when you first go out, you know, you've got anxiety. You've got, well, what's going to happen if I do this? What's going to happen? All this kind, all those things go through your mind. And you just have to push them out. What I always do is pray before I go. But just pray that the Lord lead me to the people that you want me to talk to. And Lord, give me the words to say in order to change their whole life or something like that. And Lord, if they need healing, I believe, Lord, that you're going to heal them. And then just go. You're wanting to do what God wants you. You want people set free. That's what I go out for. I want to see people set free from the bondages that they're in. And when you go out there, that's not pride. That's just being Jesus. Because that's what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to set people free, break the chains off of them. Even the people that call themselves Christians need those chains broke off of them, the chains of unbelief and doubt and all of those things that we go through. They haven't, most people haven't been through the teachings that we have. Most Christians have not been through the teachings that we have. And we take those teachings and we take it to another level because we understand who's in us. This is a new creature. We're new creatures. When we came to Jesus, the old man's gone. And y'all know that. And they don't even understand that. They don't understand it. And that's why that's why Jesus wanted us to go out and set the captives free. When you go set the captives free, oh man, that's an awesome time. Okay, anybody else? Being bold is what I always do. I try to keep Jesus on my mind. Jesus, you're with me. Let's go. Let's do it. And I just, in my imagination, and I've got a vivid imagination, I can see me going out there and getting people healed. And Jesus standing right here with me. Because he's the one that does the healing, right? It's my job to talk to him and put my hand on him. But it's his job to heal him, not mine. It's not up to me. It's up to Jesus. And when we get that mindset, then it's not up to you to heal them. It's up to you to put your hand and tell them, hey, look, Jesus will heal you. Because the word of God says by his stripes, you are healed. And if you pray and you believe that you have received that prayer, you're going to get it. You tell them all that stuff. Whatever comes to your mind, the Lord will lead you. I guarantee you. And then you'll the next time you go out, you'll be a little bit bolder. It'll be a little bit bolder. And it's not you. It's the spirit in you that's doing it. Because of you stepping out and doing what God told you to do, he's going to be with you. He'll back you up every time. I'll tell you this much. When I've had people out on the streets, it's almost every time, it's almost always an instantaneous healing. But in a setting, sometimes it's liable to be, I've had it happen, you know, instantly. I've had healing happen a couple of hours later. It could be 3 or 4 days later. It could be a month later that they get healed, as long as they hold fast that they're healed. It's not according. You know they're healed. You just let it go. You know they're healed. You're healed. Well, I don't feel like it. It's not what you feel. It's what the Word is. God, what's truth? The Word of God, right? That's the truth. It's not what a doctor tells you. That's the truth. Like we said a while ago, doctor might tell you got terminal cancer. Well, that's not what the Word of God said. And I ain't believing you. I'm believing what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, I'm healed. I walk in divine health. And that's why it's always, you know, you can always give them a little scripture before. Well, here's what the Word of God says. Well, the doctor told me that I have arthritis. Well, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life. Okay. The Word of God says this. Do you believe what the Word of God says? Yeah, I believe it from cover to cover. I believe from Genesis to Revelation. Okay, that's great. That's good. If you believe what the Word of God says, then you believe that God can heal, right? Yeah, I believe he can heal if he wants to. I said, well, can you show me where he didn't want to? Well, no. He didn't heal my uncle. I said, let's look at the Word of God, not your uncle. Word of God says, by his stripes you were healed. That's past tense. You don't look forward for your healing. You look backwards for them. Remember what David said? You look backwards to the cross. You've already been healed. And that's what you got to get. You know, that's, you go through all that stuff with them. God is merciful. He'll go with you. He will. You could do like I do. I just imagine Jesus just walking right there beside me. And that's just me. I just, like I said, I've got a vivid imagination. Everybody's awful quiet. What did I say? Oh, boy. Oh, y'all want to hear a good song? Okay. Y'all tired of listening to me talk. All right, let's see here. We'll be right back. I like that one. That's a good one. That's an old one too, isn't it?
Michael?
Hey, Joe.
I thought you said you want to, do you want to hear a good song? I thought you're going to sing. But it's also a good song, that, but I thought you're going to sing first.
Yeah. I'm glad you asked, Joe. Let me think about it just a minute. No? No, I don't want to embarrass myself. I do that quite well without singing, doing it too. What spirit did God put in us? This is just another thing to get somebody talking. Yeah, Andrew.
Well, he put in us of his spirit, of God's spirit. And so there's a question I wanted to bring up that kind of relates to faith. Me and Ben have been discussing it. And what we discussed, I asked him a question, well, what would come first, authority or faith? And we agreed upon that faith has to come first before the authority. So you know how it says there, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. I know that that's boldness, but he also warns us not to rejoice in that. So it's a humbleness in those two verses of Luke. So I believe that you have to have a certain humility too to Well, and you do have it because that's what Christ said to you when you have to put the yoke on. He said, put my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly. So, the boldness is there in the meekness and lowliness. So, but we are to rejoice that our names are writ in the heavens, because that's the name we were baptized into. We share not only the Spirit of God, but we share His name, the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know? And you go under the water and you come up in newness of life. It's so simple and easy. And well, why do we try to make it sound so difficult that we partake of that new life? I mean, if we were just to think on that all the time, and all the things that Jesus did, the meekness, the humbleness, the righteousness, he praises God, he gives praise to God, he's got salvation on his head, he's got righteousness as an armor, he's got righteousness as a garment, he's got a belt on, he's got a belt of truth, he's got he's got all this great stuff, you know. He's got the love in him. He's got the peace with him. He's got joy. He's got joy and blessing. He's got all the blessing that we can have possible, according to that verse there in Ephesians. You know, blessed be the God. And how do you bless the God and Father? How did the Paul of the Apostle bless the Father? You know, he just iterated that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You know, all of these positive words that are supposed to be your mind, your heart, your soul, and your strength. You got his strength. You got the authority to use his strength. And this is our walk in that life. Because there is the other words that are opposite, you know, even as it says in chapter 5 of Galatians, the fruits of the flesh, the fruits of the Spirit. So we want the fruits of the Spirit. He warns us. It wouldn't be right if he didn't warn us, because then we wouldn't know what the heck is wrong with us. Or to watch out for those things. A warning is a warning. It's not anxious about your warning or worried about your warning. Or afraid of that warning that he gives to us, you know. And you know, I think we cringe because we see the awesomeness of the Almighty God. You know, he speaks the universe into existence. And we go and say things that we ought not to say as children of God. I think a lot of people think really lowly of themselves. You know, I don't look nice in the mirror. I can't go talk to people today, you know? And you get some kid out there who's got this weird hairdo, and he's doing the talking about the Lord all day. and he's got tattoos all over his body, and he just got saved, and he's going to talk to the Lord, to other people all day. And, you know, they come out of a criminal lifestyle. They're real bad guys, too, you know, and they're good guys now. And it seems like they got the right attitude. and they're just coming out as something that you wouldn't really want to have any association. But now you can associate with this guy, you know, that was a badass, and now he's good. I was watching that, some people witnessing in really mean areas. I'm just glad the Lord saved these people. You know, and they come in all shapes and sizes, and they weird kind of hairdos and stuff, and not just on the girls, but on the guys too, you know. And so you got to be careful, because, you know, that tattooed guy over there, you know, you got to watch out for those guys, I was always told. But he might be a really kind-hearted, wonderful man of God now. And Or, you know, you stereotype because you say, well, he don't look European to me, so he might not be Christian. But that doesn't work anymore, you know. And people are being saved in Iran and other places, and you know, you gotta think about that. You know, you got people who the first people of North America, they're saved. You know, and they're our brothers and sisters, and you know, the people who know how to really converse the Lord's language, which is in all of the languages of the world, and know how to talk the Jesus talk, and know how to do that really well, I believe those people are going to be correcting a lot of people. They're going to be walking so good in the Lord that they're going to just do this like a pastime, like it's an everyday thing. And that's the life of Jesus. He did it every day, 24/7. It wasn't hard for him, I don't think. When he got baptized in that Holy Spirit, he defeated the devil right after that. 40 days he didn't eat or drink anything. And is it fair on how a person might think? It's not fair to think that way. It's not fair with Jesus, and it's not fair with the Father either. And I'm not saying this that I gripe and stuff. I was just happy today that I thank God that I got to spend some time with my daughter today. We left around 10:30, 10:45 to go to the Food Basics, and I went, hey man, this store is really good. It's a discount food store, and they had all the stuff like you'd need for even a chef, you know, a 4-star chef in the baking section. And we talked, you know, we're going over there on the next Thursday, so we might not be here for the praise and worship, you know. If I get here late, you know, depends when she kicks me out and has enough of me. Anyway, We're gonna have our family gathering then, and I got the cookbooks out, you know. So, but it's your everyday daily life, you know. You listen to, or you read a book on some pilgrim doing some progress there. He's progressing, and he's falling down too, you know. Like sometimes. And you get to relate to something like that, you know, even the cartoons and the movie with, the guy who played in Star Wars there.
Liam Neeson.
What's his name?
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, you know, he's, that was one of his first movies was, The Pilgrim's Progress. He's from Northern Ireland and, you know, he's a well-known actor, and I'm sure he knows the Lord to some capacity. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but either way, you know, what kind of person are we supposed to be? Who called us? And who did he call us to? We have to have fellowship with Jesus. And what does the fellowship with Jesus mean? You know, we're called into that fellowship with Jesus Christ by God the Father. And I wanted to witness to someone on these the 2 days he gave us there. I just wanted to so much, and you know, I'll believe the Lord will bring someone across my path. You know, it was so much easier when I was younger and didn't know too much. And don't say that "what if" word. You know, what if? No, what ifs. You know, that's not fair. I don't know if "not fair" is the right word, but really, you know, who are we supposed to have with us? You know? are we lacking in knowing the Almighty God and how almighty He is? We read His word and we see it there. So I just want to praise God and thank God for all that He's doing with me. And when he has things set up for me, they'll come to pass because He's the Almighty God and Father. His word speaks. I must hear it and obey it. We all must do this. And we thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, that You will give us opportunity. Always there's an opportunity. Always someone will cross your path. Whether it's the guys that crossed Pilgrim's Progress path that weren't really sincere, got to watch out for those. But we'll have those people who do cross our path. We'll have Mr. Faithful come by, or Mr. Hopeful come by for us. And finally, it'll come to pass. And it'll be all You who does it, Father. It's just so wonderful to be used by the Lord to do something for Him. You know, if the angels get excited when God gives them a command, we better get excited about it too. We better do that excitement. We want to fulfill it. We want to be happy as, happy. I can't give a metaphor. Happy as anything that you can ever be happy for just to do that word He wants us to do. We would dance the dance of joy just to do that. You have a chance here to obey the Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. Someone you will see for an eternity. You have a chance to obey Him. You have a chance to do His name, which is part of His will, His emotions, His heart, His mind. Wow. You know, and save us, Lord, from this world. Save us from ourselves. We are not sufficient of ourselves. We cannot commend ourselves. Save us, Lord, from these disruptions. Give us what we already have. In Jesus' name. I thank You, Father, for saving me. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your name, to be part of it. Increase me, Lord. Let's increase. Let's move that graph up instead of having it just move up just slightly. Let's let it go up higher into Your name, Father God. Because we all share it with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, with the Father. We share in His name. Thank You. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that was good, Andrew. Thank you. Praise God. Anybody else? You know, God has put in us His Spirit. And it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. This power of this Spirit doesn't grow or doesn't lessen. And the question I have is, why is there such a variable in people that have less or more, or what's the defining thing here that lessens the power of God or promotes the power of God in a person? Yeah, Pat.
Yeah,
I wonder if it is, Andrew was talking, I was thinking of this, but I'm wondering if it may be connected with a lack of clarity. It's obviously connected with a lack of implemented power. But I was thinking of, you know, Jesus's life, born of the Spirit of God, but he was raised from a baby through adolescent, through his, you know, childhood. And Scripture is fairly silent on any, you know, what his life, other than that example of him in the temple at the age of 12, or I think it was 12. The Scripture's silent on the rest of his life up until the point of his manifestation to the world. I was thinking of that, you know, we were talking about the Spirit, and I'm thinking of that verse in Luke 4:18. And I think this is when, he revealed himself. Yes, he was revealed himself in the church at that time, or not the church, but the synagogue. Anyway, he said he read through the prophet Isaiah there, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He was, obviously Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit and was filled with the Holy Spirit all of his life, just as John the Baptist was. But it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." And then it goes on, et cetera, basically. But I think what I was looking at is, you know, said the Spirit of the Lord is upon him because he hath anointed him. Now, this was after his baptism with John, and after his going up to the mountain to be tempted of the devil. So this was after that point, and he's basically saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." So this anointing, I guess this is a question, is that anointing that Jesus had, was that his baptism of the Holy Spirit? Was that a baptism and empowerment through the rejecting of the temptations on the Mount? Was this the anointing that he's talking about there?
Well, if you remember, go ahead. You're going to answer it.
No, go ahead.
Well, the only thing I was going to say was, after he came out and he started out, what did John see? The Spirit of the Lord come upon him through the dove. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the question is, why is there such a variableness of the power in God's people? Why does one man have more power from God than another man? And there's only one reason. Hang on, Teresa. Pat still got the floor here.
Oh, I render it up. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, Teresa.
There's two answers that I can think of. In 1 John 1:27, no, it's 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And you can pray for that. You can pray for that anointing, and he'll give it to you. And then in Proverbs 2, it says, my son, if you will receive my words and hide, this is Proverbs, and hide my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, I mean, you're seeking it. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. You know, the next two. He keeps the paths of judgment, preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You know, and then it goes on. But the beginning of it says, you're crying after knowledge. You're lifting up your voice for understanding. You know, and we're seeing you do that. You do that. So I think those are some answers there. Some of the answers.
Well, actually, it's just one good answer. And that is this. I'll go ahead and tell you what it is. And you know it once I tell you. And that is our flesh. You peel back the layers of flesh, the Spirit of God can come through. Mm-hmm. And the Spirit of God,
amen,
is what has the power. And that's why we always teach and preach that to die to the flesh and to the world. That's what God teaches. And that's when the power is really manifest, is when you do die to the flesh. I can remember a guy that I met one time many years ago, and you could just feel the power of God on him. He was that died to the flesh kind of real humble guy, but he was a great teacher. He's a guy that somebody told me, a preacher told me, he said, this guy talks to angels. This guy talks to angels. I said, really? And, but you could feel the anointing on him. And the reason that you could feel the anointing on him is because most of his flesh had been peeled back by the word of God. And I can see how that would work, because when you're being led by the Spirit of God, you're going to have that power. And as Jimmy Swagger said, multiplied multiplicities. Go ahead, Missy.
Repeat your question again. Before I say what came to my mind. Repeat your question again, please.
Well, what came to your mind first?
Don't turn it around on me.
Well, the question was, the power of God is available to everybody. It's the same power that Jesus had. It's not variable with Jesus. It was not variable with us. there's only one thing that I can think of that would make a variableness of the power of God in us, and that's our flesh. Okay. As you peel back the layers of flesh off of you, the power of God is more evident.
Right. Well, what came to my mind was, you know, where it says in Matthew 7, in that day, one will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? Did we not do that in your name? And did we not cast out demons and heal the sick in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Well, if they're workers of iniquity, they have an awful lot of flesh.
Yeah.
So I'm like thinking how, I mean, I think there's ones that have been given gifts, but it's almost like a proving ground, a test that God puts them through. Don't think you're somebody just because I've given you this gift. You know, my thought is, you know, well, you know, that doesn't mean you know the Lord that well, or that really they were lacking fruit, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, you know. So I'm just like thinking, how is that, correlate with what you said? I'm just,
well,
you know, that's just one thing.
You made a good point. You made a good point. There are certain people that have gifts of faith, gifts of healing that they work in, and they can do it in sin. But that doesn't mean the power of God is available to them like it is in other people that are not in sin. The power of God works in many different ways. All the gifts are available to every Christian. It's how you get to them that works for you. And the way to get to most of them is to live in the Spirit and to die to the flesh. Did I answer your question?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, you know, it says, they said, did we not do this? You know, heal the sick in your name, cast out demons, blah, blah. But it doesn't say that how powerful they worked in that. It doesn't say that they did a lot or whatever. It just says that they did it.
Yeah.
How much they did it, we don't know, you know.
I've seen preachers that I knew were in sin have good healing power. But they, as wisdom, they didn't have enough. I heard a story about a friend of mine. I'm not going to mention his name, but a friend of mine was in a meeting with a healing evangelist, and this evangelist said on the microphone, in the microphone, he said, when you come up here for healing, he said, bring your gift of $1,000. He said, that's what we'll do it for today. It'll be $1,000 today. And he said this little lady went up there and she handed him something. And he said, this is not $1,000. Over the microphone, this is not $1,000. Take this back and come back when you get $1,000. I would not want to be in that man's shoes come judgment day if he doesn't repent, because he's selling the gospel. Yeah, this is true story. Well known evangelist, and he wouldn't tell me who it was. I don't doubt it. I've seen instances of it. But yeah, he has power for that right there. But the Lord's gonna, he uses, I'll tell you why he uses people like this. I had to ask the Lord and figure out something. He uses people like that because he's got all of these people out there that believe that they need it. God knows that they need to be set free. And he'll use this man to do that, to set them free. He'll deal with him later.
But there's so many people that are limited, according to this guy. You got to give me $1,000. Well, how many people are going to have $1,000 to give?
Well, he said that before he had the meeting, bring you $1,000 before the meeting. You know, that's crazy. That's just ignorance there. Yeah, Jenny.
Yeah. That's horrible. That's fleecing the sheep.
Yeah. What was coming to me is God will use people like that, like you're saying, Michael, as the people who will receive by faith because they're going in faith. And at the same time, like that man with the, selling merchandising, and making people pay for healing, that's, is wrong. That's in a sense, if people have spiritual understanding and eyes to see of any sort, they're going to recognize that as false and they're going to flee, God would protect his people from that. And he's like, this is definitely not in the scriptures. What was coming to me is about what you were speaking of is, whoops.
What's the matter?
1 second. This First Corinthians, I'm thumbing through my Bible electronically and I didn't go hit the right button. when Jesus said, was talking about the gifts, in 1 Corinthians 12, and so if you have all these gifts, earnestly desire the greater gifts. Mm-hmm. Not everyone has the gift of healings. Do all have speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But, earnestly desire the greater gifts and moreover a more excellent way I show unto you. And then he goes into, First Corinthians 13, which is the way of love. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. There's that fear of the Lord and doing things, in obedience to the Lord. But if you have if you speak in tongues, you have not love, I'm become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And you have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith is to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and if I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So it's like you can have all these gifts, you can do it, and think you're glorifying God, but deep within their heart, they're not obeying God, So it's if you don't have the right attitude in whatever you're doing and you're not serving the Lord with, heart of obedience, sincerity and truth and wanting holiness and all that, God knows that, but he's still going to use people with the gifts to do what he's going to do to help people get free, like, we were saying. But, everyone's got to stand before God, and they think they're going to enter into heaven. It's like because of their gift, and they're not. They're not. Mm-hmm. God, unless God give them repentance, they've missed everything.
Well, I always
get the reward here, right? I guess the glory of man and they get their glory from man and not glory from God. In a sense, is what that is about too.
Yeah, that's very dangerous to do something like that, and I can't imagine anybody being that stupid that happened. There's an international evangelist that. I knew a guy that worked for him, that worked the crowd for him, and he said that they would charge $300 to $400. And that's still dangerous. I don't care if it's $2, it's dangerous. Okay, it looks like we're out of time. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We praise you, Father, that I hope people out there got a revelation about what faith is tonight. We had some good answers tonight, and that was awesome. And I thank you, Father, for just given great and bold faith to everybody because they already got it. And all they need to do is just go out there and work it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for setting the people free, setting the captives free in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed, you hear?